everybody. I'm Pastor Christian, and I am thrilled this morning to introduce our communicator, a man who, he's going to give you some things that are going to stick with you. There's some words he preached another time I always remind him of, but this man not only is anointed, but he walks in that anointing. Pastor John Hudson.
Thank you, brother. Amen. Boy, I love y'all. Y'all look good today. Come on, somebody. Get my Propel up here, great Propel, just in case Gatorade's watching. I'm looking for a sponsorship, so I don't know why I did that, looking like Trump anyways. You know, and we'll touch on that here in a few minutes. But hey, welcome to Thrive, man. This is my home. I love this church. We have been planted here for a year and a half with me and my family. And I just want to give honor where honor is due. Pastor Nathan and Allie, we're praying for you guys and hope you have a wonderful vacation, that you are rested and relaxed, and that God just breathes into you and just rejuvenates you and get ready to preach, because I'm ready to hear it. Amen. We want to honor all of the pastors of this house, Pastor Christian, Stephanie, everybody who has a hand in leadership in this house of Thrive. I love you guys. I'm grateful for you to pour into me, to my family, and to everyone here. Just grateful for this house, and I want to give honor to Thrive Community Church. Yeah. I also want to honor my wife, Kendall. I love you, and I'm grateful for you. Let me move on from that, for I just, you know, I'll let her do it. I'll let you do it, Yvette. It wasn't pulling up for me. All Things New is the series that we've been in, and this has been a powerful series. Amen. If you've been touched, just, yeah. It's so good. It's been like Pastor's really been reading my life every time he preaches. It's like, ooh, you know, he's been watching me. I know it. It's been a series on the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. You know, you all know that one lady that's like, yeah, I've been having an attitude. You know, but not that kind. This is the Beatitudes. This is blessed are those, you know, fill in the blank. We've walked through that. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. You know, the whole nine. Today, we're touching on blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. It's going to be a good one. The word blessed, I wanted to look at that word. Blessed, in a deeper level meaning, it would be most blessed. Most blessed. Blessed, an internal joy. The word blessed here, when it says blessed are they, blessed are thee. Blessed is an internal joy that the world can't understand. And this is the most important one. A confidence that the world needs to see. Amen. Can you agree that this world needs to see some confidence of the people of God saying that I have mercy and I'm giving mercy? Today we need to see. We need to see that blessedness pour out. Blessed. The first one was, blessed are the poor in spirit. The faster we realize that we are destitute and in desperate need of Jesus, the better off we're going to be. So if you can get that, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That was a good one. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. If you have been going through a time of mourning, when Pastor Nathan preached on this when he gave this message. Oh my gosh. I mean, I sat here and bawled like a baby from start to finish. I said, I have had so much mourning in my life, but I tell you what, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I'm telling you today that if you are going through a mourning process, if you have been in a process of mourning, some things have happened in your life. I'm telling you, you are in a great place. You are set up for great success, because if you're going through mourning, you will be comforted. And that is a promise from Jesus. That is a promise from Jesus himself. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I've been comforted a lot this year. Amen. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Blessed are the meek. Meek, blessed are the meek. It's time. You know, society says the higher up I go, the better off I am. But Jesus says the opposite. The lower you go, blessed are the meek. Blessed are the humble. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled, but those who humble themselves will be exalted. If you want to go up, you got to go down. Amen. Oh yeah. Come on. I like that. That was a good response. Y'all did a lot better than first service did. I'm proud of y'all. Y'all are awake and vibrant now. Amen. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Ooh. I tell you what, pastor's kind of stingy with the good ones, you know. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. Anybody ever been hungry and thirsty for the righteousness of God? Let me tell you, when you get hungry, when you get something deep inside your spirit and you are hungry for God, you're hungry for a move of God, you're hungry for a connection with God, blessed are you when you are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, for you shall be filled. You will be filled. It's time to stir up our hunger today. It's time. I'll tell you what, I preached the paint off the walls on that one. I wanted to preach that one so bad. When pastor asked me, I was adding it up. I was like, I think it's that one. And then he told me, I was like, oh, okay. Well, let me tell you this though. However, I wanted to preach that one really bad, but God will always give you what you need, and sometimes he'll give you what you want. But let me put that a different way. God is more concerned with your character than he is your desire. Amen? God is more concerned with your character than your desire. And God knew that I needed to take a deep dive into the study of mercy again. He knew that I needed to study and look through the scriptures on mercy again, to really take apart what mercy is and what mercy means. God has taught me so much through the study for this message. It's been powerful and impactful. By the way, I asked my wife to help me with this one, you know. I asked her to help me through the process, help me with notes, and just, I included her through the whole process of putting this message together. So if it bombs, we know who I'm blaming. And blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the merciful. This is our scripture of the day. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. I may need some mercy after this sermon, after this message. Amen. I may need some mercy by the time I get done. Amen. Mercy. Okay, right here. I wanted to share this with you. Mercies are new with each morning. That went, yeah, there's a little play on words. Blessed are those who mourn. Mercies are new. We know the scripture says, and I have it in my notes, mercies are new with each morning. God's mercies are new with each morning. I want to tell you that by experience, God's mercies are new every time we go through the mourning process as well. Oops. Yeah, amen. Mercy, the definition of mercy is compassionate or kindly, forbearance shown toward an offender, an enemy, or other person in one's power. Another more basic level definition of mercy is not giving someone what they deserve. I know that's basic, elementary, right? But not giving someone what they deserve. You don't know what they did to me, though. We'll get into some more of that. Grace, gifting. I didn't want to mix the two up because we think about God's grace and God's mercy. So I wanted to tell you, grace is gifting someone what they don't deserve, giving someone what they don't deserve. Mercy is not giving someone what they do deserve. Okay? So, like I said, I might need a little mercy when we get done here or before we get done. Before I get into that scripture, I wanted to, you remember the game Mercy that we used to play? I don't know if kids still play it today, but you can clasp both hands and try to get the other one to say mercy. You can do one hand or the other, or both hands. Most of the time we did both hands, and you try to make your opponent beg for mercy, right? But today we really live in a merciless world. So even whenever, you know, they're like, uncle, you know, and then you'll just keep on, now you're hitting them and biting them and kicking them. And, you know, it's like, mercy, I said uncle. And some of y'all are triggered just because I said uncle. And that's a whole nother message for another day. You may need to show your uncle some mercy. But today we live in such a merciless world. We can see, and you know, like politically, everything that's going on, the political climate is off the charts right now. It's election year, assassination attempts. There's all, and no matter what side you stand on, I tell you what, it's time for the body to unite in mercy. It's time for us to unite in mercy and in grace. New mercies every day. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 says, Yahweh's tender mercies have no end. God's tender mercies have no end. And the kindness of his endless love is never exhausted. New, fresh mercies greet me with every sunrise. You may have also heard that as new mercies every day. But I wanted to share this one. This is the Passion Translation. New fresh mercies greet me with every sunrise. So no matter what you're going through tonight, there are some new graces coming with the sun tomorrow. Amen. Here we go. Here's this great quote. We've become great judges of other sins and great defense attorneys of our own. Well, you know, you wronged me. I can't believe that you did that to me. I can't believe they did that to them. We are so mad in this world today about injustices and everybody's triggered by everything, right? And we have become great judges of everyone else's sin, shortcomings, failures, moral failures. We have, that's what's going on in the church today. Moral failures here, moral failures there. You get a moral failure, you know. And we have become such great judges of everybody else's wrong, but we are the greatest defense attorneys when it comes to our own sin. We will argue, you know what? Yeah, but I've been going through this and they mistreated me and they did this and I am the way I am because my mom and daddy, you know, I am the way I am because my family, you know, I am. And we will argue our point till we're blue in the face. I'm just grateful that God's tender mercies are new every day. What a great example. What a great example for us to begin to aspire to be like. And we really have to take a look at why Jesus added mercy this merciful, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy, into this Sermon on the Mount. He was trying to get something to us. That's what I really believe, is that he was worried about you. He was worried about me. So he brings up this little statement, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And it's really cute on the wall. It's really cute on a mug. But it's a whole lot harder in person. When you're talking about spiritual things, when you're talking about physical things that we've been through, it's a whole lot harder to put it into practice. It's a condition of the heart that Jesus was trying to address to totally transform your life with. He was worried about you. He was trying to get something to you. Let me put it to you this way. You can't give away what you do not possess. And more often than not, you have to give something away to receive something. Being with God is very open-handed. If you need encouragement, you start to encourage others and you find yourself encouraged. If you need love, you start loving others and you find yourself loved. If you need grace, you start showing grace to others and you find yourself with grace. If you need some mercy, start showing some mercy to others. And you'll find yourself in the middle of the presence of God. It's an ever-moving ebb and flow, an intimate dance with the Lord of giving mercy and receiving mercy. Matthew 6:12 says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Well, how do we do this? How do we do this? How can I do this? How can I let them off the hook? You know, that's a big question. How can I let them off the hook? Because what they did to me was wrong. What they did to me, I don't like it. I'm not saying it was right. But one of the things you can do is remind yourself how merciful God is to us. How can I let them off the hook? Well, God's left you off the hook. And you didn't deserve it. I didn't. Maybe y'all did. I didn't. Remind ourselves of how merciful God has been to us. If you think you can earn God's forgiveness, then you'll try to make others earn yours. That's hard, ain't it? The second thing you can do is remember that we will all face God one day. Everyone in this room is going to have to stand front and center and make an account with God one day. You can't teach on blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy, and not bring up the point that we're all going to stand face to face with God and give an account for our life on this earth. He has given us so much mercy. Matthew 6:14 and 15, it says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. However, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Let me put it to you another way. How did Jesus say it? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. This is a dance of forgiveness. God has given it to us, and it's up to us to give it to others. It's not easy, and no one said it would be easy. James 2:13, it says, and remember that judgment is merciless for the one who judges others without mercy. So who's it merciless for? Judgment is merciless for the one who judges without mercy. You think you're judging in righteous judgment over here against somebody else and all that they're doing, when really it's just hurting yourself. It's just hurting yourself. So by showing mercy, you take dominion. I love this version. This is the Passion Translation again. by showing mercy, you take dominion over judgment. I'm going to tell you what, it's time that we as Christians stand up in our God-given authority that God has placed on the inside of us. I don't care if y'all are excited about it or not, I am, and I'm preaching today. So it's time that we stand in our God-given authority and take the dominion over judgment. Oh, yes, I love to watch all the YouTubers, the Christian guys that get up and we judge their fruits. And I agree with a lot of that. But let me tell you, when it comes to this, it's time to show mercy. I believe that we are in a dispensation of mercy. That it's time that we stand up and be mercy to others. It's time that you worry about the you next to you instead of worrying about yourself all the time. I stole that from Pastor Nathan. That's sure good, right? Worry about the you next to you. Let's see. That's a good scripture. The other way we know that scripture is mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. I'd rather be known for loving too much than for judging too harshly. I'd rather someone keep coming back because I love them so much instead of never seeing them again because we've judged them. There's three portions of mercy that I want to touch on for a few minutes. Yourself. If you're anything like me, I will beat myself up time and time again. Whenever I have some kind of a sin issue, when I have something that I did wrong, I will just sit there and you're just not worthy. You're not worthy. You shouldn't even be able to do this, this, or this. You're not worthy. I can't believe that you've done that. And I'll sit there and I'll beat myself up over and over and over again. If that's you today, I want you to know that you have to show yourself mercy. You've got to release mercy upon yourself. Because if you really can't get it on that level, it's going to be hard to get it on other levels. It might seem like it's easier to do it for everybody else, to love everybody else, to mercy everybody else. But me, I'm just going to be, no, it's time to walk in freedom. If you need freedom, if it's a freedom issue, sign up for the Freedom Conference. Sign up for a freedom session. I've done two already. They just know to book me every 6 months. The second portion is God. And like you see this, and if you're anything like I used to be, I'd be like, but God is love. God is grace. God is mercy. So how could the one who is mercy ever need to receive mercy, especially from an old sinner like me? But let me touch on it for just a moment. God may need your mercy. On Christmas Eve, this past year, we were getting everything ready at our house. My wife and I had been talking about getting ready to wrap the presents that night for the kids, the rest of their presents. And the power went out. We were getting ready to cook. We were going to have unconventional Christmas Eve lunch and having hamburgers and French fries. And the power went out as soon as we went to start cooking. The power went out on our house. And so Kennedy was gone. She left to go hang out with a friend. Caleb went down to a friend's house. And so it was just me and Kendall at the house. And we finished up watching something, a Netflix movie we were watching. And we had a notification come through that said the power would be restored by 4 o'clock. And so about 1:30, we just decided, hey, let's run an errand real fast and wouldn't take long. We should be back far before the power comes back on. And well, while we were gone, we got a notification that said the power's been restored. We're like, all right, it's back on 2 hours early. Amen. And so we're like, let's get back home, get this food going. And I told my wife, I said, we were driving by and almost to our road, and I said, hey, I'm going to run on to the gas station and grab a few last minute things for stocking stuffers and whatnot. And she said, nah, I really don't feel good. Would you drop me off at home? And just like that, she said, nah, it's okay. I'll just go to the store with you. And then we'll come home. And me being the amazing, wonderful husband that I am, I said, no, I'll take you on home. That way you can get to cooking. and like a woman should. I told you I was going to need some mercy before this one was over. And I said, you can go. I'll take you home. You cook. I'll start cooking, and I'll run to the store and get what I need. That way, hopefully, the food's ready when I get back. And, well, when we pulled in, needless to say, I never made it to the store. Because when we pulled in, we saw a flame shooting out the side of our house. It's Christmas Eve, and I don't know the extent of what's going on, but all I can see is flames shooting out the side of the house. And so I ran in, told her, I said, call 911. I ran in, I found our dogs. I had to find one of them. I went in through the smoke and found the one dog, both dogs, and I got them out, and I was thinking, man, I've got to get this cat. But when I went in, it was so full of smoke, and the flames of the kitchen were too high. I couldn't go through there, and just everything's rushing through my mind. And so I ran around the back of the house and opened my daughter's window, and I could hear that old cat, meow. You know, it was going nuts in there. And so I crawled through the window and went in there, and I got the cat and grabbed it. And when I turned around to go out the window, I couldn't see the window. It was so full of smoke, I couldn't see anything. And so I just headed that way. And luckily the window was there. I threw the cat out the window, jumped out that window. And I went back in and got a few more presents and a few things, few items that we needed to get out of the house right away. And then at that point, I couldn't go back in. And, you know, we lost a lot. We lost a lot. We got to save a few things, but we lost so much. And I just kept thinking, why, God? It's Christmas Eve. Like there's a good day to have a fire, you know. But I was like, it's Christmas Eve, God. Why? Why does this happen on Christmas Eve? Why does this happen to my family? Lord, I've been trying to serve you, God. I've been trying to do the right thing. I know I fail. I know I fall short. Is it because of me? Is it because of my sin? Is it because, why? I just don't understand, God. And then you fast forward like a couple months, month and a half, and I own a plumbing business, and my van gets robbed. The three biggest, most expensive tools on the whole van, the three biggest, most expensive tools get stolen. And I'm just thinking, God, what's going on? I don't understand this. Where's my blessing? Where's my protection? God, why? Why has it happened to me, God? And my heart was hard. And I was angry with God. I couldn't understand it. Sorry about that. I couldn't understand it. And one night, my wife come in. This is after 2 or 3 months of just solid me just questioning God. I don't understand. And I had all the right answers. Oh, we're just trusting in God. We're believing in God, you know. But all the while, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, why, God? Why me? But my wife come in one night, and God said, I want to heal you. I want to heal your heart tonight. And I felt the Lord say, I need you to ask your wife to pray for you. So I did. She prayed for me. First I said, I need you to pray for me. And she was like, okay, I'll be praying for you, you know. I'll put you on the prayer list, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, no, you don't understand. I need you to pray for me right now. And so she's like, okay, you know, she starts praying for me. 30 minutes goes by and she says, amen. And she's all excited and everything. And we're talking and I feel the Lord say, that's not it. Ask her again. So I said, I know it's crazy, but I need you to pray for me again. I do feel like the Lord's doing something, but she prays again. 15, 20 minutes goes by, you know, and again, she's just excited, man. She's like, oh, man, this is good. God's doing something. I was crying a few tears at this point, and I heard God say, you need to ask her to pray for you again. I want to do something tonight, but I need you to be obedient and ask her to pray for you again, specifically for your heart. And as she come over, and just as soon as she laid her hands on me, I began to wail out. I began to cry. I began to wail out, and God began to healing me. A healing process. My heart of stone was turned back into a heart of flesh. And I had to give mercy. I was crying. Actually, I was crying out. I just need my daddy. I need my daddy. I need my daddy. And God healed my heart that night. But it took me showing mercy to God. Was God at fault for the fire and for the thief? No, it wasn't. He wasn't up there just, I'm going to mess his life all up. But I want to tell you that through the fire, spiritually, God burned our flesh off. Through the fire, God taught us so many things. He taught us how to come together as a husband and wife and depend on each other and bring our relationship closer to one another. As a family, He brought us closer. God taught us so many things through it all. He had His hand on us through it all. And it was hard, but we did it. And we made it through and we're stronger in Him on the other side. So maybe you need to let God off the hook today. The third one is others. You probably have, as soon as I hit that and it said others, somebody probably popped into your mind. I don't want to, God. I don't want to. I don't want to show them mercy. We won't hang out there, y'all. I think y'all got the point. As I was thinking about that, I was hearing that, have mercy on many men, many, 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 many men. It's time to have some mercy. Jesus set the precedent. He said, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Colossians 3, 12 and 13, it says, you are always and dearly loved by God. So even when you're angry with God, yourself, or others, you are always and dearly loved by God. So robe yourselves with the virtues of God, since you have been divinely chosen to be holy. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others, and be compassionate, showing kindness toward all. Be gentle and humble, unoffendable in your patience with others. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. That's a good word, ain't it? Amen. Amen. Tolerate the weakness of those in the family of faith, forgiving one another in the same way you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. If you find fault with someone, release this same gift of forgiveness to them. That's good. In other words, seek to understand before you seek to be understood. As all three of y'all, thank you. That's a whole lot better than all the rest of y'all let on. That's good. That's good preaching right there, Pastor. I will amen myself like Pastor Nathan all day long. I don't make me preach this thing to the wall. Seek to understand before you seek to be understood. This is something we actually touched on at the leadership retreat. And just being able to look at what's going on and asking questions to, even if you've been offended or hurt by someone, asking questions about why, what's going on? What's going on with you? Is there something, you know, are you okay? You know, qualifying questions that you are seeking to understand them instead of you always having to be the one, it's, you know, seek to understand others before you seek to be understood. So, how do I bring the balance to zero with others, right? What does love require of me? Time and again, over the last few months, my wife and I have had to look at each other. It's something that's been thrown around the church several times this year and over the years, from what I understand. But what does love require of me? And we've had to encourage each other. What does love require of me in this moment? What does love require of you in this moment? What does love require of us in this moment? How do we bring the balance to zero? Micah 6:8 says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you?" So not only does what does love require of you, what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Let me tell you, if you love mercy, you're gonna be a merciful person. If you love mercy, things are gonna go to another level. So what does the Lord require of you? To love mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And we'll finish with this right here. I'm gonna skip through some of that other stuff, and I wanna end on this. Hosea chapter 1, verse 2. It says, "When the Lord began to speak by Hosea," then stay right here for a moment. "The Lord said to Hosea." Now I'm expecting like this wonderful, powerful, God speaking moment. "Go take yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry, for the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord." Basically, the Lord speaks to Hosea and says, "Go get a prostitute and marry her and have kids with her." That's not what I was expecting the Lord to say. Caught me off guard. We skip down. I want to encourage you to go and read the whole book of Hosea and look at it as a picture between you and Jesus, you and God, you and Jesus. And Jesus is Hosea, and we are the prostitute, the woman of harlotry. That's kind of us. See, because we tend to stray. We stray. We go after other idols. We go after other things, right? And check this out. "Then the Lord said again," the Lord speaks again, "and what's coming I never would have seen coming." It says, "Then the Lord said to me again, go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery right now." She's out committing adultery right now. Go and find her. Go and love her. Go and get her. Go and just like the love of the Lord. "For the children of Israel who look to other gods, who love the raisin cakes of the pagans. And so I bought her for myself." Let me tell you, Jesus bought you for himself. Jesus bought you for himself. "So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and 1 1/2 homers of barley. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, without ephod or teraphim. Afterward, the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days." Isn't that good? Let me tell you, Jesus paid it once for all. "Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy." What a beautiful picture of Jesus' love for me and for you. That even when we go out and do the things that we shouldn't do, he gives us great mercy. And all it takes is that one step back to Him. But we have to do something with it by giving that mercy away as well. Lord, we love You. We praise You. We thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.